brother. Good to see you tonight. It's good to be with you. Like Pastor says, we come here frequently at certain times of the year, of course. And because we're up north, it's convenient to come during this time when snow has started back home. So we're glad to be here. And it feels like we've been here for 50 years. I don't know. Amen. It's always wonderful. It's our second church, and we appreciate you welcoming us every time. And I hope after this message, equally, that you'll be so kind to us. Amen. We're going to look in the scriptures in Matthew 18, 21, and 22. I see there's a time clock there. I think it's a reminder for those that preach, I believe. And I can see it clearly. Matthew 18, 21, and 22. The scripture says, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I will not say unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." You know, we may intellectually know that we're forgiven. We may intellectually know that we are loved, but what does it mean to be living forgiven? What does it mean to live like someone who has been forgiven? So let's pray together. Father, we thank you for these few minutes together. We pray that you'd open our eyes and our hearts to your word. Lord, that's so simple, these truths, and yet it's been so complicated for many Christians. So God, we ask you to do a work in each one of our lives and that we would indeed live forgiven. For your honor and for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Why this message tonight? Well, in all reality, it's for me. I play in a weekly pickleball league, as you can imagine. And people have asked in the last 6 weeks or so what I do for a living. So I let him know that I'm a business owner, and then, Pastor Two, let's do it. And the reaction to all of them so far is similar. They start laughing. They say, "No, you're not a pastor. You're kidding, right?" And even if I say I am, and even if they could look online and see that I am, they simply laugh it off. And it's been one after another. So that's been very difficult for me, as you can tell. Even my children are a witness of this abuse that go on. Amen. Even the day before leaving to come to Florida, another person asked me, "So what do you do?" Told him, businessman and a pastor, and that person just started rolling and says, "Listen, it's impossible that you're a pastor." She said, "I wasn't born yesterday." So as you can tell, it's been a very difficult moment for me these last few weeks, and I don't understand why they treat me like this and really laugh at me over the issue that I'm a pastor. It should be quite normal. But by the grace of God, I just keep on smiling and going back week after week and maintain a great attitude. For example, after winning a point, I say to them, "Thank you for your kindness," with a smile. And I'll say, "Oh, that's too bad you hit it in the net. Maybe next time it'll be better." And I do that consistently after point and after point. And if I happen to lose a point, which doesn't happen much, I give the 5-second Christian stare and then add a smile to it. And it really works out pretty well. And if it's to the point where, you know, they're missing quite a bit, and I just do the double finger thing, and they're trying to score, and I will communicate in that way. So there's a lot of symbols going on, and I wonder why they laugh at me. And when there's a point, I will throw myself on the ground because I want to give 150%. I will do what it takes to win a point because, you know what? We're Christians. We ought to give our best. But yet, this has worked against me. To the point, to this day, to this very moment, they don't think I'm a pastor. And they're laughing at me, and it's hard for me as a pastor. Yet all this, I get laughed at. And this type of unkindness results in the message tonight. And it's kind of a joke. It is, because it's not hard for me. But the reality of life is there's struggle and hardship with people to live forgiven. Some think that forgiving feels more like a heavy burden than a liberation and freedom. Have you ever told God that you couldn't forgive others or could not forgive yourself? That it was just too hard? And if that's the case, you've misunderstood what forgiveness is. Also, if you believe that forgiveness means pretending that offense never happened, or letting the other person get away with it, with what they did, it would make forgiveness impossible for all of us. And that's not what forgiveness means. In our text here, Jesus teaches a whole lesson on forgiveness that we should carefully consider. First of all, we see the limits of forgiveness. In Matthew 18:21, then came Peter to him and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him till 7 times? Peter expects a certain limit placed on how much we should actually forgive, how much we should really forgive. He expects a certain limit. And considering the type of people he was surrounded by, Peter expects Jesus to give him certain boundaries, certain limits where we no longer have to forgive. Lord, there's got to be a certain limit to this forgiveness. As if Peter is saying to Jesus, "Jesus, surely there's a limit to forgiveness when someone says something mean to me. Jesus, there is surely a limit to forgiveness when someone ignores me, neglects me as if I have little value. Jesus, there is surely a limit to forgiveness when someone speaks badly of you, uses your name in vain. Or when someone breaks a promise, Lord, there surely should be a limit to this forgiveness. When somebody physically, emotionally abuses me, or when someone takes advantage of me, there surely should be a limit of forgiveness. When someone takes a life of someone close to me, there should be a limit to this forgiveness." Peter is saying, like many Christians are saying today by their action, "Jesus, where are the limits of forgiveness? There are certainly limits here. It just doesn't make sense." And Jesus answers Peter in a simple and very direct manner. That's what I like about the Lord. It's so simple. "Jesus say unto him, I say not unto thee, until 7 times, but until 7 times 7, which means unlimited forgiveness. Peter, there are no limits to this forgiveness. Thus, every Christian must offer unlimited forgiveness to all those who offend us, just as the Lord forgave us of all our offenses and our sin against him before we even do them." Imagine that. "We must prepare now to forgive the offense that may come and that will come. The truth of here that is written by the Lord through the Apostle Paul about forgiveness we really need to buy into here. And here's the verse in 2 Corinthians 2:10, 11, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. If I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgive I it in the person of Christ. Verses 11, lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. In other words, be ready, friend, because this is serious here. We're not ignorant of the enemy that wants to kill, steal, and destroy, and he'll do it through unforgiving people. And so be ready to hand out forgiveness now for the offenses that may come tomorrow. And I like to think that there's a visual to this, and I brought some tissues here, and I don't want to show any type of disrespect towards the church, brother. Amen. But I see forgiveness as freely given. Huh? Just freely give them. And if you have trouble with what I'm doing, then really you should consider your forgiveness. But anyway, there's no end. There's no end. Be prepared to forgive. Live to forgive. There are no limits to forgiveness. Don't look for them. Yet we act like there is a limit that's been placed. We place it ourselves, not the Lord. This idea that my sin, my mistakes are too great, too numerous to be forgiven is the lie used by the adversary himself. You can overcome, you can move forward despite your sins, your mistakes, when you receive the truth that in Jesus Christ, your past, present, and future sins are already forgiven. Christ has placed, listen, no limits on forgiving you. He has placed no limits on forgiving you. Therefore, you must place no limits on forgiving others. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. When we realize that we are truly forgiven by God, all the guilt, all the condemnation is gone, friends. And we truly understand that in turn that we are commanded. Yeah, we're forgiven completely, but we are commanded to forgive others. Not the way we want to forgive, or we think we should forgive, as Christ commanded you to forgive. And it's not partly, it's completely. Completely forgiving those who hurt us. And there's so much freedom in that. A lot of people are looking for freedom. I would say, look at your level of forgiveness right now. And you might find that freedom that you need. What a heavy weight is removed when we receive and offer forgiveness. It's no longer just knowing forgiveness and hearing forgiveness, but we are living forgiven. Makes the world a difference. So we see in our text the limit of forgiveness. And second of all, we see the leverage of forgiveness. In Matthew 18, 26, 27, the servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Verses 27, then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Here Jesus demonstrates the leverage forgiveness has in changing people's life. Wow, this guy was really freed from a debt that he could never pay. And the power and freedom found in forgiveness is incredible, and it's so well illustrated here. It's a great weight lifted. This guy feels free here in our text. Forgiveness has the power not only to free us, but to restore a relationship. Forgiveness opens doors that we could never open ourselves. In the parable in our text, testify to the king's complete offer of forgiveness to a fellow servant, teaching us that God desires not only to forgive us, but also to erase all memory of our sins. And we could never pay off the debt of our sins. But God, the King, has forgiven us for everything. And the parable here powerfully teaches us that forgiveness offered by our King, our Lord, full of compassion towards us, has completely freed us from our debt. Completely. And like the servant who really represents us, who just experienced forgiveness from his King, being especially here in the receiving end, which everyone likes to be in the receiving end, amen? Everyone loves the results of forgiveness, the freedom, the peace, and the burden lifted. However, when it's on our plate, when we have to deal with it ourselves, and it's a bitter one, and we're asked to put our Christianity to practice, it's another thing. You see, living forgiven ain't my thing, many will say. Therefore, there's often a struggle. There's often a delay in forgiveness. There are often conditions that has to be met before we will forgive. It becomes complicated. We didn't have guilt, struggling to forgive ourselves because we know what the Scripture says, but we're not living forgiven. It's too hard. And all this puts life on hold. The children, the marriage, the family, the ministry, our lives are put on hold. Many today have their lives on hold, limiting their growth, fail to see the power of leverage in forgiveness simply because they choose not to forgive all those who have offended us as Christ, our King, has forgiven us. And God commands us, yes, to forgive, not to make our lives miserable, not to necessarily put us in a place where we don't want to go on anymore, but to free us so we can feed many people around us, living out each day that forgiven life. Leveraging the power of forgiveness in your life with others will change you, allow you to see clearly when you make decisions. It will open up opportunities around you that could never have opened, that you could never imagine. And so we see the limits of forgiveness Jesus is teaching, the leverage of forgiveness. And number three is the law of forgiveness. It always applies. It will never change, that law. You see, the debt that the servant owed to the King was immense. It was unpayable. This same servant who had just been freed from an unpayable debt, the next verse really tells us how the forgiven servant wasn't living forgiven, like Christians today. And here's what happens, and how we can be so quick to forget. Matthew 18:28, the Bible says, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, the same servant that was forgiven much, went out and saw his fellow servant who owed him 100 pence. He owed him a few peanuts, friends. That's us right there. We like to say, oh, what a good story. But it's speaking to us. He laid his hands on him and took his servant by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And I'll tell you what, we are quick to condemn this servant, aren't we? This wicked servant who has been freed of millions of dollars, of millions of sins. That's what the King did, and That's what the king did for us. Be careful of your judgment, for we too often represent him. Matthew 18:29 and 30, the Bible says, and his fellow servant fell down at his feet. He wanted mercy. Besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. The debt that the fellow servant owed to the servant who has been forgiven much by the king was a debt that was peanuts, small. And the principle here and the law here is that the servant who's just been forgiven for an impossible debt, impossible to pay, does not forgive his companion who owes him a small debt. And all of this comes to the attention of the king, of course, who has just forgiven, completely freed this servant from an unpayable debt. Matthew 18:31-32, the Bible says, so when his fellow servants saw that was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then the Lord, after all, called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgive thee all thy debt, because thou desirest me. Boy, I'll tell you what, do we want to apply 18:32 to our own lives? The king is looking down. Thank God for his mercy. But I'll tell you what, we have little of it, don't we? Just like that one that's been freed running around town, so excited, and all of a sudden there's a little person that does a little thing that taps us on the wrong way, and then we're ready to get rid of them. We forgot what the king did for us. So the law applies. In 18:34, and the Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Here's God's law applied. It's real. It applies to all those that refuse to forgive. Verse 35 says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. The principle of this parable is that God has forgiven us of all an unpayable debt, numerous sins. And when someone comes in our lives, near us, around us, and offends us one time, maybe two times, and through life we're offended a few times, in comparison to the many times we offended the king, we, at that point, must quickly forgive. That's the only option that the king gives us. If not, the law, it will apply. And he will give us over to tormentors, troubled, tortured, in pain, emotionally, physically, whatever it may be, until we learn to forgive as Christ has forgiven us. It's a law. It's all an amazing story, this parable. But many times the application is not done at the end, and we wonder why we're so troubled. Our churches, our home are troubled. Have we placed a limit on forgiveness? Do we understand the leverage and the power of forgiveness? Are we living forgiven? Forgiveness does not eliminate justice, but places it in the hand of a just king. In God's hands, not in our hands. Know that justice will certainly be served when it's in God's hand. To forgive means we're ready to move forward in restitution. Forgiveness is the first step in the process. Forgiveness opens up the dialogue, the conversation, to move forward. Because restoration, it takes time. There's no doubt about that. Is there someone you tend to avoid at all costs? When you hear their name, feelings that come up, perhaps of hate. When you think of a person, bad stuff springs up, perhaps a sign of a lack of forgiveness. Are you easily offended? Sometimes when you feel attacked, it's because it's a tender spot on a wound that has never healed. It can be difficult to forgive, but it's the only thing that will take away the pain of that wound. Often angry, someone said the pain we afflict on others is directly proportional to the pain that we feel inside. So Christians, live to forgive. Prepare for what's coming. The enemy is behind all of this. You realize that? His goal is to kill, steal, and destroy. And it's the family, the church, wherever you are. Be mindful of that. That's why Paul says, I'm just going to forgive. I'm just going to forgive and forgive and forgive. That's why Paul went on. He just kept going on. And my friends, if we want to list the things that he went through that he could have been bitter about, and even Peter in this text, the people he was around, for most of us, we'll never face that. Thank God. So no more living in bitterness. No more living with guilt of your mistakes, your sins, because Christ has completely forgiven you. To those who've never tasted the forgiveness offered by Jesus Christ, I invite you to receive Him today. Everything has been prepared for you. Jesus made the way for you by offering His life on the cross and resurrecting on the third day. In Him, by His grace, through faith, you can come to Him and receive complete forgiveness of sins. Amen. And receive the gift of eternal life. And you who have tasted, who know forgiveness in Jesus Christ, no longer withhold unforgiveness as with the wicked servant. Go and forgive. You're free. Go and forgive. Living forgiven. Amen. And you know what is a great testimony to the lost and dying world, to the church, to the family, to the people in the workplace, wherever you go, is somebody that's living forgiven. You can tell a difference. Amen. God's good. Amen. God's wonderful. He'll get us through this thing. He'll take care of them. We'll be all right. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your scriptures. And I think about these are your words that were written, the conversation with Peter, disciples. Lord, they are weighty words. They're so simple yet powerful to us. And this parable really opens my eyes and my heart to the power of forgiveness. And really, how important and necessary. It's not an option for us to live forgiven. Father, do your work in people's lives. Get glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.